just like me.
The White Noise Show with Sarah and Christina. Sarah and Christina.
Hello and welcome to the White Noise Show with Sarah and Christina, coming to you from the UK. A big thanks to all the people that have emailed us and got in touch and said really, really nice things, because we've been really overwhelmed by the people that have got in touch, because we really didn't expect this at all. Sarah, do you know how many people that we've had listen to this podcast? Nearly.
I have no idea how many people actually.
Nearly had 1,000 people listen to it.
Oh my goodness. That's quite impressive, actually, isn't it? Who would have thought 1,000 people would want to hear us drivel on about having white hair?
I know.
Yeah, no, it's really great that everybody listened, and it's really good, all the feedback we've had, and we really want to hear from you. So if you enjoy the show and you want to hear more, or there's something that you didn't like even, tell us. And I'm going to have to get Christina now to tell you the web address, because I can't remember.
The email is thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com, thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @whitenoiseshow. And we also have a Facebook page, The White Noise Show. But don't ask me about Twitter, because I'm not really 100% sure about that one, Sarah. I think you say at or something for Twitter addresses, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm waffling, but I just want to say a big thanks to a few people that have sent really kind emails: Gabe, Shauneen, Anne-Marie, Lorna and Lauren. And Lauren is a person with albinism that typed an email and said she apologises if there are any typos, because she bent her two fingers back, which are strapped together from playing netball the previous day. So
hazards of netball, as we discussed in the last podcast, the hazards of netball.
Don't have albinism and play netball. Have albinism but don't play netball.
I don't know which way around that all goes.
I don't know all that. Anyway, so coming up on our show today, we're going to do the news, which is something to really look out for, because last month's was great and this month's is going to top it even more. I'm going to talk about reading in public, which is an issue that I have. Well, I sort of do and sort of don't. And I think Sarah might have a sneaky quiz in there somewhere along the way. So, Sarah, what have you been up to since the last podcast?
Well, let me think. Mostly, I've been going to work.
Right.
And doing a bit of swimming, biking and running.
Winning awards.
Well, I don't know if you really call it winning an award. I did win the British Championships for triathlon in the Vision Impaired category. So I am now the 2011 Triathlon British Champion for Vision Impaired. So that was a bit exciting. I've got a nice little shiny gold medal that I can wear around my neck. And I do tend to wear it around my neck quite a lot.
She does. She walks around everywhere with it.
A bit embarrassing now, especially getting in the shower with it on. It seems unnecessary, but never mind. So I've been doing that, really. How about you, Christina? What have you been mostly doing?
Well, mostly mummying, stuff like that. I did go, though, to have an eye appointment for the first time in about 5 years, though, Sarah, the other day.
Oh, my goodness me.
And I tell you what, the lady, one of the people there, was trying to do me out of acuity. I was really upset, yeah, because she was trying to make me out to be blinder than I am. And I do.
How dare she?
I went there partly because I needed to find out what my acuity was for a certain benefit in the UK. And secondly, because I want to get some contact lenses, some brown contact lenses. And it turns out I am still going to try and get brown contact lenses, but my eyes are really dry and they'll probably get scratched and sore, so whatever. So this lady, she did my eye test, but it wasn't a normal eye test, one of the Snellen charts. It was like some kind of slideshow eye test where she pressed the button and all these different things came up. Anyway, so it turns out that my vision is rubbish. It's 360, which in America is what, Sarah?
2400. Not that I'm in America, just to clarify for
no,
people
she's
here.
Not
it's
in
just
America.
I'm significantly brighter than Christina.
Yeah.
So therefore I can sort of work out some translations there.
Right.
Yeah, 2400, I believe.
2400. Which I'm a bit embarrassed about, because I swear it never used to be that bad. I don't really know. But anyway, so this woman, she kept saying, she was going, well, I'm not really sure. It's something like 3/2500, and but I'm not sure how you work it out. And I'm thinking, oh my god, you are she wasn't the ophthalmologist, she wasn't a doctor, she was an optometrist. And I'm sat there thinking, I don't really have much trust in you, lady. But she was trying to do me out of eyesight, and I was not having that.
How dare she? I know. How very dare she?
I made her do it again. I'm probably the only person that made her redo an eye test. Let's face it, it doesn't take long to not be able to read any letters off the board, does it? So it was quite quick, over and done with very quickly. But she said, I'm not quite sure how you break it down in this way, because I said I need to have it for a letter to get this certain benefit. And she said, well, I think she was saying something like 2/3,000, and I said it's not, and it's a fraction. So she gave it to me written down, and I said, okay, so that's 6/120, which is 360. So anyway, so that's what I've been up to. I've been being done out of vision,
basically having eye tests. Well, I have to say, it's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because they say that albinism isn't a deteriorating condition. But I think from conversations that we've had in the past, you know, there does appear to be some vision loss, albeit very minimal, and probably not functionally noticeable. I was about to make up a new word.
Because I don't really... I think it is. That's a good word. I don't think there's that much difference between you and me, Sarah. Not that anybody listening would know that. But the idea of having 360 is not good. I don't like it. Because I swear, when I was really, really wee, I was able to read the second line down on the chart. And do you know what? I actually looked up the chart. This is so embarrassing. This is such a blind thing. But I looked up the chart on Google. And do you know how many lines down, if you can see normally, you have to read?
I'm not sure. Is it about 8 or something?
Yeah. It's eight lines down. How do you do that? How can you read 8 lines down?
It's a bit mind-blowing, isn't it? The idea of actually being able to see is a bit mind-blowing.
I know.
I think the top letters are... Top letter's fine with me. I can cope with that top letter. I like it.
Yeah, it's
nice and friendly.
What a nice place to be. But eight rows down, an eye test must take forever.
Yeah, I know. It's true, actually, because you consider when we go in, it's like, H, and it's over.
And they're like, she was like, I said E. And she was like, and? No, just E. And
that's stopped there.
It. Yeah.
That's it. Over. Done.
Yeah.
Did she give you the big revelation, though? She try and reveal to you that you had albinism? Because every time I go somewhere to have my eyes tested, I get the big reveal that... You have albinism, you know. Really?
I think she was quite... I think she was secretly excited to have me, actually, because I think probably in a lot of those eye clinics, they just see old people with glaucoma and macular degeneration. I think she was secretly, when I walked in the door, she was like...
Score! My days just got better.
But it did worry me when she...
Did you bring a student in? Did she bring a few students, you know, to have a quick look?
She did.
Look at your little transillumination and all that.
No, she did. I know, but no, well, she said to me, which again was a bit worrying. She said, you know when they measure your eyes?
Yeah.
I was looking through the thing and she said, now, could you try and keep your eyes as steady as possible? I'm thinking, like that. Do you think if I could, I wouldn't do? I mean,
I really need to keep your eyes still now. Well, yes. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Not going to happen.
I know, but I was thinking, you're doing all these things and getting me contact lenses. And A, you can't work out the fact that visual acuity is based on fractions. And also, you have no idea what nystagmus is anyway.
I have to say, I do think a lot of them are quite clueless. And I had to have a field test done last time I went to the... ophthalmologist, and they were telling me to keep my eyes still to do the field test, and I was that's kind of nystagmus. And actually they said they couldn't do a field test on me on that basis because my eyes wouldn't stay still, so no field test would be accurate, which I thought was quite interesting.
Oh, that's really bonkers.
Bizarre.
But the more she says to me, which I know it's an impossibility to keep my eyes still, but the more she says to me, can you keep your eyes still, the more I think they go all over the place.
I never have a concept of when they're good or when they're bad or when they're anything. I don't really know. Sometimes when I'm really tired, I might know about them. But apart from that, I just don't know.
No, I do when I'm tired, actually. And when I'm stressed, I just get more clumsy and stuff, I think. And I think that is I can. No, I can sort of tell, but clearly everything doesn't move. Like everybody thinks that they think that, you know, people think that everything moves. And I think if everything did move, you'd probably be suicidal, wouldn't you? Because your world would be dreadful.
Or sick.
Very, very sick. Yeah.
Quite sick. Anywho.
Yes.
Anywho. Enough about that.
If you want to get in touch, email us thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. That's thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com.
I think we should start talking about one of our issues of the week.
Go on, go for it, Sarah.
So I'm going to start talking about, it's not really an issue this week for me. It's just a topic that I came across whilst listening to another podcast. And I thought, actually, it was quite an interesting topic. So my topic this week is...
Sorry, can I stop you there? Are you plagiarising people's ideas, Sarah?
A little bit.
All right, fine. Move on.
So my topic is what I would say to my 16-year-old self. If I could go back and have a conversation with me when I was 16, what would I want to say? And I thought it was just quite an interesting thing, really, to sort of think about. And I suppose for me, what I would want to say is don't worry about it. All these worries that you've got. And I was probably quite a stressed teenager. I was quite highly strung, still quite highly strung, but was really rather highly strung then. And I'd want to go back and I just want to say, chill out a bit. Relax. Everything sorts itself out in the end. You know, all the worries I had about kind of education, about employment, about actually probably top of my list, having a partner, getting married, you know, having a family, all of those things, don't worry, it will all happen and it's not a problem. And I would go back and reassure myself, because I think I spent so much time as a teenager stressing about things, you know, for the future, that I sometimes didn't enjoy actually being a teenager. And I think that's a bit of a shame. How about you?
It's funny you should say that, because I knew you when you were 16, and compared to me, you were a lot more confident than me, and you always on the exterior seemed to other people, I'd say, really confident and really kind of sorted. All I wanted to do when I was 16 was have brown hair and perfect vision. That is what, if someone could have given me some kind of pigment pill. I would have popped it right then and there. I thought having albinism was the key to everything or anything that went wrong in my life. That was the reason why. It wasn't anything to do with anything else. It was because I had albinism, when in reality, that actually isn't the case. Yes, some things were, but it's all about having self-belief and kind of feeling okay about yourself. And, you know, I thought I was never going to have kids. I was never going to have a partner. I was not, you know, I was never going to have a good job, when I knew there were people out there with albinism that did. I really did know that. But I don't know. I thought if I could go back there now, I wish I could have confidence and, like you said, live my life for what it was then. Be a teenager, not think about things that I didn't need to think about. You know, you were 16, you shouldn't really be 15, you shouldn't really be thinking, oh my God, no one's ever going to want me, should you? I mean, it's not...
It's interesting. And I wonder, like, how many people probably think that regardless of albinism. And I think I probably was in, like, I totally agree with you. Everything that went wrong in life, it was like, oh, that's because I have albinism. That's because I'm albino. That's, you know, that's happened because of this. And actually, I think for me, that was actually quite destructive, really, in my life. And I think sort of probably didn't really come to a head till my early 20s, when suddenly somebody kind of basically picked me up and just said, do you know what, Sarah? Things don't go wrong in your life because you have albinism. Things go wrong in your life because you're human. And things go wrong in everybody's life. Even when they don't have white hair, things go wrong for them. And I think having somebody kind of, you know, grab hold of me and say that to me really gave me a bit of a wake-up call. I think when you're that age, sometimes you just can't see past it, can you? You're just kind of stuck in this this place where everything is, you know, you kind of overcomplicate everything and you worry about everything, really. And I think it's a really difficult time to have albinism, isn't it? I think it's a really tricky point in your life when you just can't imagine.
Which is when I think it's really important to, well, this sounds really cheesy, but to kind of possibly surround yourself, not exclusively, because I think that's weird, just having friends that have got albinism, but actually surround yourself with people the same age or older who you can see have got on with their lives and done whatever, and for it to kind of be normal too. Because I think when I was 16, I had a good friend with albinism, but she lived further away and I didn't ever really see her. We talked on the phone, but I didn't really see anybody. And I think I also just felt really alone. And I just didn't have much self-belief or confidence in myself. And if I, you know, if I could go back there now, I wish I could be more assertive, speak up for myself and really believe in myself. And, you know, just think, you know, yes, albinism does ring up rubbish, it really does, but that's not the sole reason why things happen to you. And I do get annoyed when I do hear, you know, when you do hear people that kind of try and blame their disability for everything that's gone on in their lives, because that simply isn't the case. You do have some control. You might not be able to control what's up with you, but you can control, you know, what's going on. And being a victim just isn't big or clever, really, is it?
No, and I think it's interesting, like, you bring up kind of having like an older friend, and I suppose I was in a better position than you, because actually I had you. So I had somebody, and I had someone who I could see had moved beyond the stage in life that I was in. And I suppose that's kind of where I sort of fall quite lucky every time, really, because every step in life that I take, you've already taken. So I can just go, oh, what did you do about that? Or what did you do about this?
Yeah, but
or what did you
do about that? Or... your steps behind me 10 times better than mine. I'm like, I've got shuffles, she's got steps.
I think I don't know if that's quite true. I think you've taken some pretty ginormous leaps in your time. I think probably the biggest thing I'd say to myself, actually, if I'm going to be completely honest about it, is that all 16-year-old boys are horrible.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
all horrible.
They're all about have the mental age of a 10-year-old.
Absolutely.
And unless you are Kate Moss, Naomi Campbell, whatever.
Well,
it
was Joe Champion at my school, actually.
Hey.
She, well, no, you know, you're talking about the perfect girl. Joe Champion was the perfect girl. So it was her. Yeah,
who was the perfect girl at my school? Oh, Louise Williams, she was the perfect girl. And she was the perfect bully as well. And do you know what? She wanted to be friends with me on Facebook and I refused her friendship because I remember all the times that she'd shout across the corridor and say, "Albino!" I remember that 18 years down the line, and she ain't going to be no friend of mine.
I would like to add that Joe Champion wasn't a bully. She was an absolutely awesome person as well, which actually makes it almost more annoying.
Visit us on the web. TheWhiteNoiseShow.com. TheWhiteNoiseShow.com.
I would like to move us swiftly on to our next item of the show.
Yes.
And I was thinking about things to do with albinism. And one of the things about having albinism is obviously the names that you get called. So I thought to myself, what better way to talk about this than to compile a top 10? Top 10 of things not to call an albino. And actually, when I started compiling the top 10, initially I thought, I was out running and I thought to myself, oh, I'll just think through a few names. And I was sort of struggling. And then the floodgates opened. And then I was inundated with names that possibly have come up in the time. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to run through them, Christina.
Okay.
See what our listeners think. Okay.
Okay. TheWhiteNoiseShow@gmail.com.
Yeah. So if you've got any to add, any comments, let us know. In at number 10, I'm going to do it a bit like a chart countdown.
Can I check them off as we go along if I've been called it as well?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. In at number 10, we've got Ghost. It's a classic. Not that original, but it's a classic, you know, something from early childhood.
Ghost.
Number 9, a slightly different one, but one that I've been called on a regular occasion. Light bulb.
Oh, do you know, I've not had light bulb. Oh, no, I haven't had light bulb. And I've never really got this. I'm digressing. Somebody at school always used to say, the sun's fallen on your head.
Yeah, it's because you were shining. You're shining like I was shining like a light bulb. You were shining like the sun.
I still don't get it now.
In at number 8, on a similar theme, Ice Cream Head.
Yay! That was always a classic. Classic. Mr. Whippy, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Whippy. Awesome. Number 7. Now, this one, I have to say, I've never been called this one, but you were called it once, and it made me laugh so much that I put it on. Dumbledore.
Yeah, well, you know, you just told me
about it. And
I was going to say, because if you would have been called Dumbledore too. Yeah, that's when I had really long hair as well. Yeah, Dumbledore.
Like an old wizard. Number 6 is, again, actually inspired by you.
Right.
And this is, I'd like to say, listeners, this is how I picture Christina, because Christina does all the recording for the show. So she sits there with her headphones on in front of a microphone, and I just sit on the other end of her phone and we do it over Skype.
And don't shatter all the illusions.
And so she's sitting there with her headphones on her microphone, listeners. I want you to picture this. And all I can see in my head is Jimmy Savile.
American people won't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's true. Okay, for the Americans out there, Jimmy Savile is a national treasure. He's a random guy who wears shell suits. He was like a TV personality, I guess. He was a DJ as well, wasn't he? Kind of in the 60s?
Yeah, 60s, 70s, I think.
I don't really know, but young. Yeah. Anyway, and he's got very white hair.
But that's just because he doesn't have albinism.
He's old. Yeah, he's just old. You know, so, and I think he probably went white fairly young. I'm guessing he was probably blonde, wasn't he, before that? Yeah, so anyway, number 6, Jimmy Savile. Number 5. Now, this isn't a nice one, but it's one I've been called on many occasions. And in fact, Christina calls me on fairly regular occasions. And it's the classic red eyes.
Oh yeah, I love that one. Do you know what? I really hate that one. I used to, clearly albino, you know, isn't the nicest thing to be shouted across. But when someone shouts out red eyes, you just think, ooh.
Just say rude. Or when someone jumps in your face to find out if you have red eyes and then shouts it at you.
Did that ever happen? Has that ever happened to you?
It has. I was sat in probably the worst time it's ever happened to me. I was sat in Covent Garden, minding my own business, eating some lunch. And I was sat on the steps outside the funny thing with the pillars. And this guy just jumps in front of me, comes like virtually nose to nose with me, which I just found entirely kind of an invasion of personal space and such like. And looks me straight in the face and goes, oh my God, I just wanted to check if you've got red eyes.
Oh no.
And I was just like.
Who are you with?
You know, I think I was alone actually.
Oh no.
I was alone. And so it was a bit funny because I was alone. I was a bit like, oh, that's a bit strange. What do I do now? And I think in the end, I actually even had the kind of courage to turn around and go, well, now you've seen, I don't.
Oh no, that's really awful. Well, I've had that before, but it was at school. And actually, it's not really a very nice story. And I don't know if I've ever shared it with you, Sarah. I might not have done. So I just started high school. I was probably about 11. And I'd literally been there for 3 weeks or so. And there was an area of the school where I'd quickly learnt not to go alone because there was a group of boys who were horrible. And every time I walked, it was this little alleyway. And every time I walked down there, they'd always say, albino, and make horrible comments about me. So I absolutely avoided that area. I learned very quickly. And one time I had to go there because it was a shortcut because I was actually going to meet my VI teacher. And I was really late and I was rushing down there. And these guys, I think they must have been quite old, like 16, who probably are flipping burgers in McDonald's now or in prison for manslaughter, I don't know. They were all hanging out there. So I walked down the thingy and one of them goes, oh, are you blind? And I went, because I was really like kind of belligerent. I was like, no. And they were like, well, how many fingers am I holding up? And when someone says that, you always know it's either going to be one or two because they're sticking their fingers up at you. I had no idea because it was really sunny and I couldn't tell. But I said one. And they were like, and then one of them says, has she got red eyes? And he pinned me up against the wall. And I was like, could you get off me, please? But bearing in mind, I was only little and these were big, tall kids. Pinned me up against the wall, got like my eyelid and my bottom lid. And pulled my eyes open. He's like, your eyes are shut. And I'm like walking along because it's really sunny, squinting, looking like a freak, obviously. But you know, I thought my eyes were open because I could see where I was going. But clearly, how people with aneurysm can do it. And so he pulls my eyes apart and I'm there nearly with tears down my face, not because I'm upset, but because I'm being, like, my eyes are being prized open and I'm facing into the sun, and it's probably one of the worst things that you could actually do to somebody with albinism. He's like, oh, she doesn't have red eyes. And they all go, yeah, but I bet she does. And then one of the other ones, they'd let me go by this point, and I was kind of carrying on walking. And he said, oh, yeah, but Mr. Churchyard, who was a biology teacher, who was a dreadful biology teacher, said, albinos, people like her, they're scared of light. And I have no idea why, but one of these kids gets out like a mag light. I have no idea. I think they were going to use it to burgle a house after school or something. Got a mag light out and shone it right in my face and in my eyes. And it's like, she does. Look, she's got red eyes. And I'm thinking, God, of course I do when you shine a blinking light in my face. And then I just scuttled off to see my VI teacher, who told me off for being monosyllabic and not talking to me. And I'm thinking, right, the reason I'm not talking to you is because I've just been harassed by a load of idiots on my way to see you. Anyway, that was a nice story.
That was a lovely story.
I know.
Sleep well, listeners. so anyway, I'm going to skim over that.
Yeah. My traumas.
And actually, number four, interesting, because actually number four is the classic, you know, the classic insult to just scream albino at somebody, which is completely uncreative, I'll be honest.
I know, you do think, come on.
And I have to say, even now, as a fully grown woman, every now and again, if someone shouts it, I do turn around and just say, and what?
That is really the only one I get now, I think, really. Apart from Dumbledore, I got like about 3 years ago. But it's just mainly if people are going to say something, I think it's albino now, really.
I think you're probably right. I think that's the usual kind of supposed insult. Although I struggle sometimes to see how that's an insult, but never mind.
Yeah, it's like, yes, very good. You obviously know your autosomal recessive genetic conditions. Yeah, really.
Number three, I have to say another classic, but painfully dull, whitey.
Yeah, that's so boring though, isn't it?
So boring. So obvious. And number two is very similar, snowy.
Oh, I was going to say a classic. Christmas.
A true classic.
It is a true classic. I can see a festive theme going.
A festive theme is coming. And you guessed it, Christina. In at number one
is
Father Christmas.
Brilliant.
And I had to put that as number one because it's just been a running theme forever. Father Christmas.
Oh, Christmas, I know. It's great.
Even though I lack a beard. And the one that I did contemplate.
Or do you lack a beard though, Sarah?
I do. Well, no, I do.
Okay.
I think the one actually that I was really tempted to put on here that a friend got called recently and is kind of like politically current. So mate, will probably pass by fairly quickly. A friend of mine got called Boris.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome.
That's an MP for people in America who's...
Sorry, yeah.
Boris. He's actually the mayor of London.
Yeah,
he's not an MP anymore.
The mayor of London, and he's very, very blonde, isn't he? He probably has some kind of albinism around. Yeah. Unless he's Scandinavian.
But did you know there is one? I don't know, because... You might not have been called this because it's not on your list, but I always liked this one. Mashed potato head.
No, I never got called mashed potato head, but it's brilliant.
Oh, I love it.
Classic.
Bringing back all the memories. thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com with your hurls of abuse that you've been abused and hurled at you.
I would like to say, because I think actually for any parents of people with albinism who are listening and thinking, oh my goodness me, my children's life's going to be hell.
Yeah, this is like 30 years of...
This is, you know, this is a long time. We've both been sort of alive. And for the most part, this is a minority in society who say such crap things. And I have to say... I no longer really bat an eyelid anymore. And occasionally, if you catch me on an off day, it'll upset me. But for the most part, no one says anything to you when you're an adult.
No. And if they do, it's just, you know, it gets to you, but you do. Like, as I was saying in the last podcast about, you know, I think it gets to you because it's more of a shock than anything else.
Because it happens so infrequently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think just like kind of on a serious note, really, like... actually, I think it's good that most people with albinism can probably, as adults, kind of look back on it and have a little chuckle about all the silly things that that people come up with. So please, people, do not be stressing about it at all.
If you want to get in touch, email us thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. That's thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com.
So, Christina, I think it's your turn to actually do some work on this podcast, because I feel like I have actually done all the legwork now. So, yeah.
Okay, then. News.
Oh, I wonder what you're doing, then.
I was having some kind of seizure.
Hey, was that meant to be like the little typewriter thing that they have that prints off the news stories?
Anyway, I'm a newsreader. Leave me alone. Okay. So, following on from last month's successful news feature, I thought we'd carry it through again for this month's podcast. Now, we are featuring another animal story, but this one's been sent in by Gabe, who sent in a number of news stories. Thank you very much, Gabe. In America, there's about five towns that are fighting to be the most white squirrel, albino squirrel friendly counties. And the one that shouts the loudest, and listeners, I'm really sorry, this isn't like 14 point print and I'm like struggling to read it, is in Olney, Illinois. And they shout the loudest about their albino squirrels, titling themselves Albino Squirrel Town.
Congratulations, Olney.
They scoff at all the other four towns that boast albino squirrels because they say that they're not true albino squirrels.
They checked for red eyes.
Well, apparently so. but every year, the town conducts and promotes an annual white squirrel count where locals scour the landscape inch by inch to determine the population or migration of these creatures. And not only that, but laws on the Olney books give the squirrels right of way on every street and resident on every street.
Just albino squirrels?
Yeah, just albino squirrels.
And so the red ones and grey ones can get run over?
Yeah, they can get squashed. Uh-huh. And residents are fined if they try and leave town with an albino squirrel.
Is that like the neighbouring towns who've been competing to get this kind of prestigious title, stealing the albino squirrels for their own town?
Could be.
Is that what's happening there?
Shocking,
because I can't imagine any other reason why you'd leave town with an albino squirrel under your jacket.
No, unless you wanted to kind of eat it or make it into a coat or something.
A squirrel coat?
Yeah. A bit of white fur. Don't know, might make a nice coat.
Or you could get their tails and make some kind of scarf affair, if you like.
Or some kind of headgear.
Or headgear. Mm. Yes, some kind of fluffy white headgear.
Headdress, yeah.
Illinois. Am I right in thinking it's like Central America? Well, not Central America, Central USA.
I don't know. Americans, tell me my geography. My geography of America is probably as bad as the Americans' geography of the UK.
In terms of camouflage,
yeah,
Illinois might not be so great
for white squirrels.
White squirrels,
no.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe it's really north and they have lots of.
You'd think like Alaska might be the right kind.
That's
of state.
What I was thinking when you said to me when you were saying there is a town. I thought she was going to say in Alaska. It's got to be Alaska, but no.
Got to be in Alaska or Canada, although I did say America.
Is that where Glee's set in Illinois?
Is where what's set?
Glee.
I don't know. I don't watch Glee. thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com if you want to tell us where Glee's set in America. She cares, I don't.
How rude.
All right, let's move on to the serious topic of, because I don't think you can avoid this. If you look in all the news to do with albinism, it's all talking about the horrible killings in Africa. And if you don't know about that, then it's awful. It's witch doctors are hunting down people with albinism and killing them for their body parts to make into lotions and potions, which are supposed to cure certain ailments, which is really horrific when they just take babies and, well, it doesn't matter who they take, but I mean, it's quite traumatic and horrific. Moving on from that, that happy thing. In Kenya, they want to set up, now I think we should all go with this, everybody, a National Albino Day.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
How brilliant would that be?
Let's do it.
National Albino
one.
Day. When would be the Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. Christmas. Everyone's dressing up like it. Yeah, that's it. That's definitely it. We should make it Christmas Day.
So as of...
Like, would that be like hug an albino kind of day? So we'd have lots of people hugging us.
Oh, no, that would make me feel sick. I don't want random people to hug me.
Actually, yeah, I forgot about your slight OCD with germs.
Ooh. Yeah, but hang on, would you like random people to come and hug
me? No, I would not. Not in the town that I live in.
No.
But what, you know, National Albino Day, what would people do? Would they wear white wigs?
Well,
I don't know. Would we put bunting up in the streets?
Everyone have to dress up in white as in honor. Get some kind of white headgear.
Yeah, yeah.
And
would we have like an albino pride march?
Worship us. Yes, we would. We would have floats and all of the things on them would be white. We'd have white animals, white people, angels, the lot. It would be great.
That's quite special.
It would. But the reason
driving the floats, because I have concerns about albinos driving floats.
Well, we'd have to do it in America, because only people that are in America can get driving licenses. We can't get them over here. I can't, with my blinking 2400 vision, can't get jack.
You wouldn't even get it in America, so you
no couldn't. Blinky wouldn't. Or would I? thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. can you drive with 2400 vision?
Should Christina relocate to Illinois? That is the question on all our lips.
Yeah, be good. Could hang out with the squirrels. But on a serious point, I think the reason why they want to have a National Albino Day in Kenya is to promote skincare welfare. It's to diagnose and treat early signs of skin damage. Now, the last piece of news is about model Sean Ross being featured in Katy Perry's ET video. Everybody seems to be talking about that. Do you know who Katy Perry is, Sarah?
Don't talk to me as if I don't know what the young people are listening to these days. Yes, I know who Katy Perry is. Isn't she married to Russell Brand?
She is married to Russell Brand. And to be fair, that's how I primarily know her. Because
and she's well skinny.
She is well skinny. Sean Ross is a model with albinism who I have to say is damn fine looking. And he features in this video. Now, I tried to watch this video, but because it was on MTV and I wasn't in America, they blocked me from watching it. So can anybody tell me what if Sean Ross is good in this? thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com, because I'd be interested to hear, because everybody in the albinism Twitter world seems to be talking about it, and I don't know.
I have to say, I had another albino sighting as well.
Albino sighting alert!
Other people might have noticed this, and probably Americans saw this a long time ago. Actually, it was a little while ago in this country, in the UK. Ugly Betty, actually, there is a regular extra who has albinism who's floating around in the background.
Is it really?
Absolutely, yeah. Virtually every week in the last series, he was kind of mooching around.
Is he damn fine?
Not particularly.
Oh, dear.
No, not a great advertisement.
And is he like in the ugly camp, or what's he?
No. He's meant to be part of Mode, which is like all the beautiful people. He is meant to be part of the beautiful people, and he's very much just there. He's not like anything in particular. And I thought, actually, it's quite good, because he literally is just there, and they never make any reference to him even. He's just there. Maybe the producers don't even know. Maybe he's just a random extra.
It's probably got something to do with Rick Godotti, because he's friends with, like, the producer who makes it. So it's probably him.
How do you know that?
Because Rick told me.
Oh.
Hi, Rick. Hi.
Rick Godotti, are you listening?
Now, let's move on to Twitter. Okay. I'm trying to be cool with the kids. I'm trying to get into it. I'm still not quite getting all these at signs at the moment. But somebody said something which was interesting. This isn't funny, it's just interesting. What did black albinos do during slavery? How were they classified? Were they slaves?
I don't know.
What do you think? thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. What do you think, Sarah?
I'm not sure. The only thing I can refer to is in South Africa, when they had the apartheid, one of the ways they would tell the difference between someone who was of colour and white, or black and white, whatever, however you want to phrase it, was if a pencil fell through their hair, then they were classified as white. And if it got caught in their hair, they were classified as black, which would mean...
You'd be black.
I'd be black, yes. But it would mean that albinos, African
Americans would have been...
Yeah, would still be classified as
I'm sure, I bet they had that some kind of very rudimentary thing like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine so, but I don't know. But if somebody does know, like we say, get in touch.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. This is a sad tweet. Never had an albino friend. Haven't seen one since primary school.
That is truly... Oh, my heart bleeds.
My heart bleeds. And I'll tell you one thing, person. Sarah and I will not be your friend.
Absolutely not.
So you can carry on dreaming.
Does anyone remember a slight psycho at primary school that looked like they would be upset in the future, though, if they didn't have them as a friend?
My last tweet is, which I'm still thinking about. My biggest fear is to be attacked by an albino serial killer. Now, Sarah, can we just dissect this somewhat? Right. If you were lying in bed.
Yeah.
And your door creaked open. That's a creak. Yeah. And someone's right. Head poked around the door. Someone with brown hair. Yet they were wielding an axe. Looked yep. like so. They were going to come towards your head and yeah. kill you. Yeah. Would you be scared?
I probably would. I have to say, though.
Would you be scared?
I'd be scared. Right. If I noticed, I would be scared.
Now, if the same situation occurred in bed, door opens, you see somebody, head poke around the door, they have white hair. They're carrying an axe. Would you be just as scared or even more scared? None of your sarky comments, love.
I'm just wondering how dark it is at this point. Because would you know?
Well, this person now isn't watching the room, so it's clearly all been illuminated by this.
Illuminated by the light bulb head. I'm guessing I would be equally scared, yes. But I think what I would then try and do is appeal to their better nature and say, I have albinism too, you know.
We have something in common.
We have something. Because that's what they say you should do. If someone's... I learnt this from Grey's Anatomy. If somebody is going to kill you, like is trying to murder you, apparently what you have to do is make yourself seem more human.
Yeah, it's all psychology, isn't it? Yeah.
So you tell them something about yourself. And I think the albinism thing would work.
Yeah, I do too. But to this person here who writes on Twitter who doesn't have albinism, they would be...
How do you know they don't have albinism?
I don't. I'm being quite judgmental on that point, I have to say.
You are. Yeah. Are there any albino serial killers? Do we know of any?
TheWhiteNoiseShow@gmail.com. Get in touch with us via Twitter @WhiteNoiseShow.com or Facebook, The White Noise Show.
I mean, we are meant to have fairly fiery personalities.
You do.
You do.
Visit us on the web, TheWhiteNoiseShow.com. TheWhiteNoiseShow.com.
Right, moving on to our final segment. Everyone's probably like, thank the Lord. Fast forward your iPod. Last segment is reading in public. Now, I actually genuinely don't really have an issue with this, but I kind of sometimes do. And I don't believe that anybody with albinism would say that they really don't give a stuff. So I was in the shop the other day and I sometimes, you know how you can recognise packaging and stuff by its colour or whatever. So I pick something up that I think I know what it is. I'm looking at it and I'm doing quite often. When I don't need to read something, I try and be as sighty as I possibly can and don't hold it like 2 centimetres from my face and like, you know, which I'm sure you do too. And I'm just glancing down at it. And not someone that works in the shop, just a random person comes up to me and says, hi, do you need any help reading that? And they weren't being condescending. They were just genuinely being really nice. And my heart sank. I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. My heart sank, thinking, oh, my God, I thought I was being really sighty reading that. I thought that I was doing really well and looking really normal when clearly having your head to one side and, like, you know.
And actually, when you think you're holding it about half a metre away from yourself, you've actually got it about 2 centimetres away
yeah.
from yourself, realistically.
So my question to you is, how are you about reading in public?
Well, it really depends on the situation, because if I'm sat on a train, for example, I will read. I will sit there and read, even if I need a magnifier or whatever, I would sit and read with a magnifier even. And I would do it because I'd just be like, well, actually,
it's my time, yeah.
You sit here and be bored. Or I sit here and accept that people might stare and, well, kind of whatever. So there's that side of it. But I have to say, in other situations, like you were talking about walking around shops and stuff like that, I will do my absolute level best never to read anything, you know, because I just think you just get so many stares and crazy looks of what the hell is she doing shoving that, I don't know, just an example, can of beans up her nose while she tries to read.
But the mad thing though, Sarah, is I know for a fact you genuinely don't care that this is the mad thing, and I really don't have issues. So I mean, you know, everyone has slight issues, but I really genuinely kind of don't care what people think, except when it comes to reading in public, I do my level best, like you said, walking around a supermarket, to not, because when I read, I put my, and I've only just realised that I do this, after 30 whatever years, I've only just realised that I put my head really to the side when I read. I didn't know I did that until I, like, get chronic back pain and realised why, and I must look, and you know, Sarah, don't take offence, but the only time I really realise how weird we look when we read.
Oh my God, I can't believe you. She's so rude. I have to say, we were in a pub the other day and we were reading menus and I was cringing.
Christina
then made me read with the magnifier because she wouldn't read with the magnifier in a pub. So she forced me to look at the menu with the magnifier so she could sit there looking like a Mrs. Cool.
It was my local.
It was your local, but still, I was forced to read with the magnifier. She wouldn't do it.
It was my magnifier, though.
It was your magnifier. It came out of your bag, and yet still, I was made to do it. I have to say, I've kind of got around this now, where my iPhone
has that one too.
A magnifier on it.
Yeah, I have it too.
And quite often, then you can kind of disguise. Well, I think you can disguise. Again, it's probably delusional on my part. You can disguise what you're reading by actually holding the iPhone in front of it, and it looks like you're just kind of casually texting whilst holding. Casually texting and actually reading it, which for me has been kind of a godsend.
I'm sorry, and how close is your face to the phone when you're casually texting?
No, not that close, because you can get it massive.
All right.
So actually, it's kind of okay. You don't have to be that close. It's a bit of a pain, kind of hold it steady and stuff. But otherwise, it's kind of awesome. And even, like, you can do things, like, because it's so big, you can even kind of, say, in a supermarket, if there's you're trying to get something off the top shelf and it's kind of like a line of jars or something like that where you can't really tell what's what, you can kind of even hold it up.
Oh, can you
kind of look at what's on the top shelf and kind of see?
People think you're some geek taking photos.
Admittedly, it's never gonna look cool, is it? That's never, you're never gonna make that look normal, but it's still easier than kind of taking everything down from the top shelf and saying, oh, you know,
What's this?
And I think that's, you know, equally, because I often feel in shops quite self-conscious because I think I touch and pick up things.
Yeah, everything, because you don't know what it is.
And then I think almost that looks kind of a bit like skanky on your
touch. I know. I have, because I think, well, and you'll be looking at what it is. Well, you went, people, I don't know how many people stare. So many people must stare, mustn't they? Because it isn't, but in all seriousness, it isn't until you, like, go to a conference where there's loads of people with albinism that you actually realise how weird we do look when we read.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, is kind of a stark reality. And it's just something you do. I mean, even to the point when kind of, and I still to this day don't know why I do it, but I'll even go in shops and I still have a habit of pretending to look at things. So, like, so I'll be stood looking for a magazine or something and I will stand at the shelf and kind of browse the shelves, and I'm like, seriously, what am I browsing? I'm browsing at the moment just a whole bundle of colours. I know they're magazines, but that's about it. HMV, you know, if I'm kind of killing time, you know, I know, say my partner's kind of doing something at HMV or my friend or whoever, and I would still go there and, like, flick through CD racks and have no idea what I'm flicking through. And I just don't know why I do it. I do it to fit in, I do it to conform. And it's such thing to do, like, it's so weird.
Do you, when with the chip and pin, I don't know, yeah, you have got it in America, you know, when you put your card in the machine,
yeah.
I always, like, I wait until the person, because some of them beep.
Yeah,
if they beep, we're all okay, but I if they don't beep, I always, like, look around, put something in my pocket, take something out
until they have to tell you when to put your pin
exactly number. And then equally, if it doesn't beep, when to take it out. I always like go la 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 la, looking around, fiddling with stuff. You can remove your card now, please.
Classic trick. You just look away from the machine. Do not look at the machine. Never look at the machine.
Never look at the machine.
Tell you, it's so true. It's so true. I have to say, for me, chip and pin is a bit of a nightmare, because I know lots of people who have no sight. I think chip and pin was a real godsend, because they no longer had to worry about signing a receipt. But I think for partially sighted people, it's actually been a real pain in the backside, because you have to be able to read the screen, and a lot of the time it's kind of those funny green screens, aren't they? Like green screen with kind of bluey black writing on them, and actually to read them is kind of rubbish, and they all kind of come up differently, so it's not even as if you can pick up on the pattern of like the shape of where the words come up, so you can think, okay, there's one, I can see there's one word in the middle that means it wants my PIN number or something like that. You can't necessarily do that either, so it's just not that straightforward. So literally you do the whole like la la la, looking around, blah 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 blah.
The worst is though when you're in a restaurant and they come to you with the chip and PIN machine to your table, sometimes you have to type in gratuity. And there's been one time where I couldn't read it, and I actually had to say I'm really sorry, because you know, people might not necessarily, well, I think people don't know I'm visually impaired, but they're probably all going, haha, she's blind. I you know, they didn't know, and I had to be like, I'm really sorry. And now I don't know why I say pathetic things like this. I said, I'm really sorry, I don't have my contact lenses in. Like, as if I had contact lenses in, that would make any difference.
That's worse than me flicking through CD racks randomly. I don't lie about it.
If you have anything to say about reading in public, the email is thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. We're at White Noise Show for Twitter, and our Facebook page is The White Noise Show. Sarah will be back next month, where, amongst other things, you will be taking part in an all-new quiz called How Albino Are You?
Wow, I'm going to be swatting up for the next month.
You need to be reading all those medical textbooks.
I'm going to be revising. Do you think BBC Bite Size does a bit on that? I think they've got a bit for me.
I don't know, but I think you need to be swatting up, because it's going to be a toughie.
I'm so ready for it.
All right, everybody, thank you very much for listening. That's it from me.
And me.
Bye. Touch, baby, you just like me.